Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It.
Or did we?
The show where we believe it.
Or does one?
Don't we?
Do we Dwint don't?
We didn't. No, we did not.
I hope you don't.
I hope so, too.
I hope and pray to all the gods who ever existed.
I pray every single day that you don't believe it.
I think it's fair to say that I've talked to every god that ever existed.
That's fair. Can you pray the belief away?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because you can supposedly pray the gay away, right? So
yeah.
why not the belief as well?
Yeah, that's true.
Does that make sense? Or am I just kind of like throwing out ideas?
Was there an Onion article about that where it's like
there might have been
like a conversion therapy camp for... for Christians, like
I don't know. It sounds like a pretty good idea.
Yeah, I'm down. Well, they have debunkers for cults.
That's true. Yeah. There's like a name for
deprogrammers. What's that?
Yeah, deprogrammers. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Because they got to get all that culty stuff out of them. Do you think you could just send like normal religious people there?
I don't know. Probably not. But
I feel like you could.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the stuff is, you know, doing a similar thing to your brain in a certain sense, maybe.
I
don't know. Yeah. I don't know. This is a pure speculation. So if I offend anyone, I'm not really sorry. But, you know, sorry enough for you.
Sorry enough, yeah. I hope some of these people that we're going to talk about today get deprogrammed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who is it?
We're talking about Christian nationalism.
Oh, no.
Or more specifically, white Christian nationalism, but we'll touch on both.
Is this predominantly with regard to the states, or are we talking about Canadian white Christian nationalism as well?
We'll talk about both. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's start with what Christian nationalism is. It's basically people who believe that politics should be directed by the Bible, and that laws should reflect Christian morality, and that the state, the country, should declare itself a Christian nation. Yeah.
Well, I know why we're doing this episode now. because of, well, people who support certain things in some countries causing terrible things to happen that remove people's bodily autonomy in the name of, you know, I'm sure, white Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
This is going to be a fun day, huh?
Yeah, it is. And also the other Supreme Court, one of the other Supreme Court rulings recently in America is basically you're allowed to do public prayer in school. So it was the football coach who was praying with his team beforehand, and he sued the school board for firing him. And then he just won in the Supreme Court, saying that that was completely okay for him to lead his team in Christian prayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Do they not understand that, you know, not everybody is Christian?
I don't think they do. Or they think that that's like a failure for the people who aren't Christians. Like they think that if we can establish Christianity as the main one, then we can convert them and get them to be Christians and everybody be happy and Christian together.
Right. So I mean, I was, you know, this isn't quite going that far, but I guess if you believe that, you know, you're trying to push towards like an eternal kind of existence and, you know, saving a soul and stuff like that, you don't really care what you don't really care about this life as much, I guess.
Yeah. So. And I mean, the one argument I heard was like, if you're okay with like a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim kid having to sit through a Christian prayer every day, but you don't want your Christian kids to sit through one of their prayers, then it's not about religious freedom for you at all.
No. It's rules for thee, but not for me.
Yep, exactly.
Wow.
And recently, you know, Lauren Boebert.
Oh, yeah. That winner?
Yeah. She was speaking. She was running in her primary, which I think she won. Yeah, she won her primary, so she's on the ballot again. But she was speaking at a church during that run, and she said, the church is supposed to direct the government. The government is not supposed to direct the church. This is how our founding fathers intended it, and I am tired of the separation of church and state junk. It's not in the Constitution.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah, exactly. So in the First Amendment, though, there was the Establishment Clause. So it kind of is constitutional.
I don't know enough about the Founding Fathers, but I'm sure that they, you know, they had a lot of beliefs in like personal liberties and stuff like that. Yeah. So I doubt that they would want to be pushing a Christian agenda. But some of them probably did. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure
they were always fighting about this shit all the time.
Yeah. But like before their independence, it was mandatory to go to church, and there was like, I think you could only vote if you went to church, and with the Constitution that was all ripped away, and like for a good reason. You don't have to go to church anymore. You can pray to whatever God you want or not want, and that was kind of a big thing with the start of America. So yeah, separation of church and state was there from the beginning. And, you know, Congress shall make no laws establishing a religion in the First Amendment.
I mean, that's pretty definitive right there. Yep. I would say that they didn't want a Christian state then, if it's they will make no laws to establish that.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not surprised, though. I feel like these people, whether they believe it or not, they're definitely weaponizing it for their own political and financial gain.
Oh, 100%. In Canada, I mean, we see it, I think, especially the white side of it, the white Christian nationalism, but I see it so often whenever we take in refugees from another country.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, just the Facebook freakouts of, we aren't even taking care of our own. Yeah. It's like, who is our own? Like, people are people. We need to take care of people when they're hurt. And it's like, well, again, sorry.
We definitely aren't, like, there are a lot of people that we are failing that who are already in this country, for sure. But that doesn't 100%. Mean that we shouldn't be able to help other people as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's two separate things. We can do both.
Yeah. It's like they only care about when it's whataboutism. So, like, you'll see posts about homelessness. Like, we have so many homeless people. Why are we taking in refugees? It's like, yeah, I agree. We need to do better to help the homeless people.
100%.
But why do you only care when it's saying that, oh, these people are our own, these people aren't our own?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, yeah, we saw it in the convoy, the truck convoy, the Freedom Convoy, which is very Americanized Christian nationalism, but for Canada.
It's depressing. It's depressing. I mean, I feel like there was probably certain amount of people within that group who don't have like a white nationalist viewpoint. I'm sure of that. I think a lot of people were kind of like conned into it by thinking, oh, it really is about choosing our freedoms and,
yeah,
you know, not have to dealing with these mandates and stuff. But I think at the core of it, it's quite obviously just a bunch of shitty, hate-filled people who are throwing a temper tantrum.
Yeah, there were Nazi flags. And even just like if you take away the racism part, there was a lot of Christian nationalism as far as one article talks about how the Bible verse 2 Chronicles 7:14 was up in a lot of places. And this is a Bible verse that American Christian nationalists use and now Canadians. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. So this is kind of their go-to verse of like, if we were all to repent and if we were all to go back to Jesus, then God will bless us and we'll be a great prosperous land.
But why is that up to them to make that choice?
Yeah.
So first of all, we'll be a great prosperous land. So one thing, like, why do you give a shit? Because you're always kind of pushing for this, you know, this afterlife with God anyway. So what do you fucking care? And then two, why do you get to decide for all these other people? Like, mind your own fucking business. Be a pious, preachy person to your own people. Leave everyone else alone. Stop trying to pass laws for this garbage. Like, I don't know. My philosophy for the most part is just like, it's none of your fucking business and leave people alone.
Exactly. And it's just really dangerous.
Like Christians and stuff, do your own shit. But as soon as you start affecting other people, that's where it's a problem.
When you're using a super old book, I was going to say 2000 years old, but even like the Old Testament's way older than that, but like to create laws, you're obviously going to be picking and choosing anyways to like decide. It's not really using the Bible. It's using your own bigotry and your own prejudices and using the Bible to justify that stuff because they're picking and choosing, of course.
Oh, obviously.
Look at like the Ten Commandments and go through them and see how many of those you actually want to be a law. And like most Christians would not say that they want it to be a law that you have to keep the Sabbath day holy.
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, you have to worship God. I mean, maybe they want that one.
I feel like they probably want that one. That's like,
yeah,
you would hope that was like at least the one that they would care about.
Yeah, but I couldn't think of any other Ten Commandments.
Isn't one like coveting your neighbor's wife or something like that?
Yeah, you're not supposed to be jealous of your neighbor's wife. Like, how is that? How are you going to make that a law?
I don't know. I feel really bad for all the people with smoking hot neighbor wives.
That's true. I don't think I've met my neighbor's wives. But if I did, I would just call them my neighbors because they're not my neighbor's wives. They're just another neighbor.
And you refuse to covet them because you're such a pious man.
Mm-hmm. 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 And I mean, maybe I covet their shoes or something.
Mm. Are you allowed to covet things but not...
No, you're not allowed.
No.
Yeah. I mean, the wife is lumped in there with things.
I was going to say, wasn't the wife in the Old Testament considered property anyway?
Basically, yeah. I mean, not basically, it just was.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a really cool thing to, you know, want to base our society off of still.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It seems like a really nice, fun, great, equal, inclusive thing for everybody.
Yeah. So... two authors, Andrew Whitehead and Samuel Perry, they wrote a book. So the book is called Taking America Back for God, Christian Nationalism, Christian Nationalism in the United States. Mm-hmm. They wrote this book in 2020.
Who's they?
Andrew Whitehead and Samuel L. Perry are their names. Okay. And they just talk about the dangers of Christian nationalism and how not cool it is. And
yeah. I don't think nationalism is cool to begin with, but
yeah,
as soon as patriotism, you throw in Christian nationalism, yeah. I think that gets even more problematic.
Yeah.
It's just shit on shit.
And they outline six kind of things that Christian nationalism believes or expresses, mm-hmm. Which is the federal government should declare the United States a Christian nation. The federal government should advocate Christian values. The federal government should not enforce the strict separation of church and state. The federal government should allow religious symbols in public spaces. The success of the United States is part of God's plan, and the federal government should allow prayer in public schools. So,
if the success was part of God's plan, why do they need to push for Congress to do this shit then? Wouldn't they just do it?
Yeah, it's always funny how they got to push for God's plan when he's supposed to be omnipotent, all-powerful. Like,
yeah, I don't get it.
It's got to be us doing it.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a bit much, I think.
Yeah.
I wonder what's the percentage of Christians in the United States? Do you have that?
I don't have it on me, but I can check. It's
because I feel like that's a relevant statistic to have for this.
69% is what I remember from a video I made a little while ago.
Nice.
Just because how do you not remember 69?
Everybody's favorite number. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it was then, but I'm just going to check if that's an accurate number.
Okay, well even if it's 69, just about, you know, like two thirds, right?
Yeah.
That's still a lot of people who aren't Christian.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's 65 now. So it keeps going
65.
Down.
65. Okay.
Yeah. Which is nice. It's been going down for a long time, but as it goes down, that's the problem, is that they're actually losing more liberal Christians than conservative Christians. So the conservative voices get louder as a result, because they're the only ones left. And this has been something that's been going on kind of since the 60s. So before that, the really big outspoken religious leaders were more liberal and wanted the separation of church and state and fought against Christian nationalism. One of the big things, too, was before they entered the war and around the time of the war, a lot of Christian leaders were like, we can't have things like the Japanese internment camps. Like, how do we fight fascism when we're being fascists? And it's always been that expression of Christian nationalism, theocracy is fascism. We can't do it. We shouldn't do it. If you're real, if you really want people to be free and happy, we can't have, we can't establish our religion or any religion as the main religion.
Well, that's the thing. They don't want people to be free and happy.
No.
I mean, this is the thing. I just listened to the Behind the Bastards about the Southern Baptist Convention, and it was a similar kind of thing, about people pushing for slavery, right?
Yeah.
In the same kind of things, and through their religious beliefs as well. And it's the same kind of thing. They don't care about other people. They don't care about people actually being free. It's they want to push their agenda. They want to make sure that everyone adheres to what they think is free, or not free, but and the people who they think should be.
Yeah. And it's always, they always use the word freedom, and it's never really about freedom.
No.
And the funny thing is, too, Baptists were one of the more liberal groups.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Southern Baptists were oh, well, we want to own people still, so we're going to split off. And so Baptists were some of the main ones pushing against having an established religion and pushing for separation of church and state. And now, not so much.
Bit of that flip-flop there.
Yeah. And a lot of people say it goes right back to when people first landed in America. In New England, basically, they would
see themselves. Where they made clam chowder.
Yeah, they made clam chowder. And then they said, you know what? We're kind of like the Israelites going into the promised land. And that was kind of their mindset. That they were the Israelites. This was their land. God had given them this land. And the natives, First Nations people, were what the equivalent
of manifest destiny, baby. That's all the Puritans coming over because everyone hated them in Europe.
Yeah, so they come over and they're like, oh, the people who are already here, we got to kick them out because this is our land.
This land is our land and only our land.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And then as, you know, as it got on and further, they would consider themselves, you know, this is their native land. And like, even after, after the Revolutionary War, you'd have people like nativists who weren't native. They were just white, but that was their thing. It's like, hey, we're nativists, as in us white people have been here longer than these white people over here. And we're going to fight for Christian nation against whatever, like Catholicism or whatever. Like, because, yeah, this has mostly been a Protestant thing. And Catholicism at first was the big target. And then other religions, as they come in, it's like, nope, we need Christians. And it's, yeah.
It's still so wild to me that there's like huge battles between different Christianities. Like, I understand why, and I understand like the reasons why they split off, and there's different, like slightly different things. But at the end of the day, you're all kind of reading from the same book, guys. Like,
yeah.
What, why is there so much animosity?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then obviously we have Trumpism now, and that like QAnon, all that stuff. And that's, that obviously ties into it, and we've seen such a huge rise in Christian nationalism in the last couple of years as kind of like a reactionary thing. Like, for example, we're seeing states passing like voter registration laws that really restrict people in lower income, and but mostly
why like let minorities and poor people vote, Trevor? Yeah. Why would they do that?
Yeah,
then they wouldn't get their rich white Christian friends in office as easy. Yeah.
To the election in 2020, I think they said by April of 2021, 47 states at least had bills proposed that basically restricted voting, for minority groups. Yeah, 47 of the 50.
That's, I mean, I'm not surprised, but that's fucking insane. I mean, the politicians aren't working for people. And if they are, the people are fucked. But I don't think they're working for the people.
Yeah, no. No, they're working for a select few. Have you seen the Family on Netflix?
I can't remember. I might have.
I haven't seen it all, but I started watching it recently. They went by this idea that God had selected a few people. Like, if you're in a place of leadership, God elected you to be there. And God wanted that person to be there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
And therefore, it's perfectly okay for them to try to pass biblical laws or laws based on their own morality as opposed to what their actual constituents wants, which is what they're supposed to do, because God put them in that place. And if God put them in that place, then that's what they're to do.
So. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hard to underestimate just the sheer stupidity of some people, though, too.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people who think this is the right thing to do. I mean, we have it in Canada, like 100%. We have it, I'm sure, a good amount of people in Ontario.
Yeah.
I mean, we got who we got for another another term right now. And all that's going to do is just not good things for the province and the environment and anything like that, or the people. So here we are.
And because our province is the most populated province in Canada, and now we're passing anti-environmental stuff and it's awful. Like, a lot of anti-mental health stuff has been a thing too. Just cutting budget,
Let's gut public services, things that could actually help people and reduce costs long term.
Yeah,
and just pump some more money into the corporations. That'll really solve the problems.
Yeah.
You got to grease your friends' palms and, line some pockets.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like you said, too, one of the things that really tied into this was the idea of, because it was more Christian nationalism, and then it's like, oh, but, there's Christian black people who we own, so what do we say? And that's when it's like we talked about with the Mormons, the mark of Cain comes in, and it's like, and then you're using the Bible to justify why it's just us who gets these rights and just our people. And
hey,
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, yeah, an interesting thing is, do you remember the 31 people who were in the back of the U-Haul at Pride? In Idaho.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I do remember. So they were going to do some bad things.
Yeah, and Coeur d'Alene. A number of them have been rumored to be involved in a church in Texas. But two of them were the son of a guy named Matt Buster. Matt Buster ran a ministry out of a church in Washington in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Or was it Spokane? That was called Real Men's Ministry, and the church is On Fire Ministries.
Okay.
So it was that classic, like, you got to be a masculine Christian man, which comes into it a lot, too. And then the guy who was running it, Matt Shea, is the lead pastor of the church, was also once a elected official, but he was involved in the, you remember when they took the guns and held that government building for a few days? Number of years ago, he was involved in that, so he got kicked out. So, like, that church is just like one of the many churches that are just running these, Christian nationalism, making real men into soldiers for God who go out and do soldiery things, trying to pretend to be, you know, a militia or whatever to push their violent Christian.
It's some really
narrative.
Weird, like. Cosplay fantasy that these people have, like this weird kind of power trip trying to push this agenda too.
It
seems like they probably didn't have great childhoods or parents who cared about them or loved them or anything. That's kind of what it feels like. It just feels like a lot of fragile egos.
You gotta wonder too, like, what radicalizes some of these people. Like, I mean, even like somebody like an incel. And it's like, okay, so you've been rejected or you haven't had luck with love or whatever. That's, you know, that sucks. Sorry that's happened. But, you know, instead of looking inward and saying, what am I doing wrong? You blame everybody else. And it's like white supremacists, I think it's the same thing. It's like, oh, you didn't get that job. Is it because of affirmative action or do you just not have the skills? You know, and
maybe you don't have the skills. Maybe you don't have the experience. Maybe you don't interview well. Maybe you're an asshole and they talk to you and they're like, fuck this guy. Why would I want to hire him?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like a lot of the stuff, like someone like Jordan Peterson does a very similar thing, right?
Yeah.
Even though he's a fucking stupid chud. So,
he gets vulnerable people who probably have been hurt in some way, but you radicalize them and you make them think that it's, you know, everybody's out to get you, like, you know, like the incels, everybody's out to get you. And
But also throwing in like some kind of very basic, useless, like self-help platitudes that, you know, try to validate your negative feelings, and rather than actually trying to do anything to, you know, solve them, they just, they do things to make you feel better about it and then blame other people for the issues.
Yeah, and we've talked before about the Christian right. We did a full episode of that, but it definitely ties into with Paul Weyrich was his name. Weyrich, he was a big influential person in starting the Christian right kind of movement. So this is in the 70s, and obviously he worked with Jerry Falwell. Jerry Falwell, forgot the name for a second. And to really motivate people to vote based on religion and things like that. But he said, now many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they're not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in this election quite candidly goes up against the voting populace, goes up as the voting populace goes down. So he's basically saying we want to encourage the right people to vote, but we don't want everybody to vote. If somebody disagrees with us, we don't want their opinion to be reflected in the government. And that's kind of been their way ever since.
I mean, that's got to be a bit of a red flag, you would think.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Any rational thinking person would kind of be like, wait a minute, we don't want people voting. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We like democracy, right? I guess not.
Yeah, I guess not. Because I've jokingly posted things, and I think I got taken down because it's illegal. But like, hey, everybody voting in Ontario, just remember that we're voting on July 1st, or June 1st, unless you're voting conservative, then we're voting on June 7th. And then it's like, but really, you do want everybody to vote. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also, like, I mean, the other argument is that sometimes the majority does have shitty opinions.
Oh,
but
yeah,
that's
for sure.
You put in laws to protect the minority. So it's not, yeah, mm-hmm. You can't make a law saying that, you know, you can own people just because most people want to own people. Mm-hmm. That's bad. it's bad for that person who's owned. And, the takeaway too with, not takeaway, but the one of the good things with what's happening right now in the mm-hmm. Supreme Court is that people are realizing how dangerous this is, and people are like starting to, like, the Christian right's kind of numbers are down, even though their power is bigger right now, if that makes sense. So, like, their popularity's down, but yeah. So,
well, I mean, that ties back into the conspiracy theories that the whole reason that Roe v. Wade was overturned is because they want more, poor disenfranchised people to be having poor babies so they can increase their workforces and probably mm-hmm. increase their Christian base as well.
Yeah. That's like, even when you see those people holding up those signs that say, "We will adopt your baby." It's like, really? Because there's a lot of kids in foster care right now that need to be adopted.
Right. I mean, I've heard arguments about foster care as well, and about how a certain percentage, like a good percentage of them, aren't adoptable. They're just like in care for other family members and stuff like that. But there are a lot of children who do need to be adopted that aren't adopted. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah,
it's pretty messed up. They don't give a shit. I mean, if they did, then they would be passing bills that would, you know, increase healthcare for children. They would do things that were, you know, increasing education, school system things. We wouldn't have had a baby formula shortage, you know, in the U.S. That wouldn't have happened. Tons of stuff. There wouldn't be so many school shootings, probably.
Oh, no.
If they actually gave a shit about kids. Yeah. But they don't. They don't care.
And that's the thing, too, is like, part of this Christian nationalism thing is it's so easy to get some of these people on board with things that aren't Christian things, like, and twisting the Bible, like, the Bible doesn't need to be twisted too much because it has an awful lot of terrible things in it, mm-hmm. but like things like climate change, getting Christians on board to be climate change deniers can be as easy as saying God promised in Genesis that he would never flood the earth again. And if the polar ice caps melt, the earth would be flooded. So therefore, God will prevent that from happening. So therefore, climate change isn't a thing.
So fucking stupid.
I
mean, I don't really understand what the end goal for the Christians to deny climate change would be anyway, though. I mean, it's one of those things I don't understand. I think there was an old David Mitchell thing where he's just like, what are you going to lose by taking some of these precautions, you know? like if 20 years from now we invest in green energies and renewable things and do better for the environment, and we find out that global warming wasn't real, worst case scenario, we're doing better for the environment, we have sustainable resources, and we're able to do this stuff that's less destructive and polluting. Mm-hmm. Like, what, where's the negative side for this? I don't, like, exactly. Why would you not hedge your bets on that?
And the only negative side is people who sell gasoline won't sell as much gasoline. So they lobby to convince Christian leaders to convince Christian people that we need our gasoline.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I love a good glass of gasoline just as much as the next guy. But at some point, you have to say no.
On the rocks, or do you do straight up?
Straight up.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. That'll put hair on your chest.
Exactly. Any other thoughts on Christian theocracies?
It sucks. It's stupid. Don't do it. If you're thinking about doing it, slap yourself in the face. Take a mm-hmm. look in the mirror and really reevaluate, you know, your whole worldview. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
If you give a shit about anybody, don't do it.
Somebody commented this on, mm-hmm. on a video, and thank you for bringing this up, but do you remember when we saw Emo Phillips open for yeah. Weird Al?
Yeah.
What was his joke about two people who meet and then they like, I'm just going to find it.
I can't remember it. I don't know.
So once I saw this guy in a bridge out to jump, I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist, Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region, Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist, Council Lakes region, Council of 1912. He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lake Region Council of 1912. I said, die heretic, and pushed him over. And that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
eventually you're gonna say something wrong. You're not gonna be part of that Christian nationalism, and you're gonna wish for that freedom that you can't have now because you're the wrong counselor.
It's also just bizarre that, you know, you would want to do that now. Like, just,
yeah,
if you're going to the afterlife, go to the afterlife, have fun there, let people figure it out then. Why do you have to be an asshole about it now?
Exactly. Yeah. Live like there's no after party. Yeah.
I agree.
Enjoy the party you're at.
Speaking of, I'm going to go take a nap.
Should we thank our patrons first?
Should we thank our patrons? Let's thank our patrons. Thank you, patrons.
Thanks.
We love you.
Oh my God! Wow! Thank you so much. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey everybody! Thank you so much for coming to our Bible study. You'd think we would have studied it all by now, but we're still going, going strong.
I'm still on chapter one. I hope that's okay. I know there's a lot of chapters.
Chapter two is a doozy.
Oh, is it? Oh man, I can't wait till I finally finish chapter one.
Yeah. So, well, you'll get to it. Watch the movie too, if that helps.
Oh, there's a movie?
Yeah, there's a few.
That would really simplify things for me, actually.
Yeah, you should. I think it's called Year One. Is what they call the movie, but it's basically the Bible. So.
Mm, mm.
Starring Michael Cera, Jack Black. That's not all we're going to do today. We're going to thank some people, and we're going to pray for some people.
We need to thank our friends Deidre and Janet and a roaming Goliath and Rosa, and let's not forget, O Come All Ye Faithful. Or do we just call them O Come?
Oh, that's... Who is it? Like my dad was O Come All You Faithful. You can call me O Come.
Yeah, something like that.
But and I just have a quick prayer request for Katie. Katie is very kind, very nice person, and is always just treating those around them with love and care. And we need less of that in this world. You know, we need more just like mean
hate.
People.
Violence.
And hate, yeah.
Just violence. Like the Bible exactly. taught us, right?
Exactly.
Oh.
And Jagger, my cat, has joined the Bible study today as well. Oh, he's on the keyboard, so.
Wow. Well,
still recording.
If all dogs go to heaven, do all cats go to hell?
There's a cat purgatory.
Oh, okay.
It's basically like
it's in the middle.
It's just a countertop where you can knock stuff off.
Oh, that's not bad, so, though.
Yeah, they like it. It's no, there's no cat trees or anything, but
right.
But thank you all, though. You're all very, very much appreciated. Mm-hmm. We love you from the bottom of our hearts.
Mm-hmm. And the top of them.
And the top of our heads. So, and should we do a Christian rock lyric?
Let's do one.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
This song is called Stand.
Stand.
In parentheses, original patriotic song by Anna Ritchie.
I was going to be like, how do you stand in parentheses?
Oh, it's very easy.
Wow, you proved me wrong.
That was a visual for a podcast, but the YouTubers can see it.
We got a video.
Yeah, that's true. So go to YouTube and you'll get my hilarious joke. But I wasn't even standing, I was sitting. Fuck.
That's true. Checkmate.
Anna Ritchie wrote the song, and Anna, I have a feeling you wrote this song because a certain group of people were kneeling during the national anthem to protest racism. But
this is not going to be nice.
Nope. I walk along 1,000 rows of white crosses, reading the names and dates from old. Some newly painted, others chipped, so many losses. Do we take for granted what they've done? When did we lose our honor for the ones who gave their lives, took the blow so you and I could dream and learn to compromise? Stand, stand. Even if you don't fully understand, stand for the nation's song, the uniforms, one nation under God. Standing wasn't free, so come and stand with me. Talk of the news with all the jerseys on TV, taking a knee, but not to pray. Okay, so she literally says it.
All right.
Soldiers fought for unity.
Okay, I think that's enough. I think speaking of someone who doesn't understand, clearly this person doesn't understand that those people fought for their right to kneel.
Exactly.
And your idea that they need to stand and respect them goes against everything that those people fought for.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a fucking idiot for thinking that. And you clearly don't understand why these people are kneeling and the injustices and the terrible things that are happening to communities and peoples in this country because of fucking stupid people like this person who wrote this song.
Yeah.
Ignorant, gross. It's just, I hate it. I don't like it.
Yeah, I hate it so much. And that's the thing, too, is like, you can't just like be like, okay, this is the greatest country ever. I love this country. Yep. Number one. Let's never change anything, even if something arises that needs changing or we notice something that needs changing. It doesn't matter. This is what it is.
If it was truly the greatest country and you truly believe that, don't you think you would be trying to do things to make things even better? Don't you think you would be actively listening to criticisms and looking at terrible things that are happening and trying to fix those things rather than completely ignoring it and saying that they're not happening?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that what a great country would do? Isn't that what a strong, supportive country would do?
Yeah.
Rather than a weak, fragile, egocentric, money-driven country that doesn't care about its vulnerable, its poor.
Yeah, it's like when you know somebody who they just have this one toxic trait, and every time you're like, that really bothers me. And so when you bring it up, it's like, this is really bothering me. And and they take personal offense and they say, this is just who I am. Eventually, you don't want to be around that person because that's just who they are.
Anyone who says that's who I am are.
Yeah. Yeah. I just call them as I see them.
No, you're probably just an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably.
Yeah. And
maybe
and
you just do say, just call them as you see them. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Just the idea, too, of singing the national anthem at sporting events is dumb.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I mean, our patriotism is weird and annoying, too. But nothing
compared to their patriotism. It's not as militant. It's definitely not as militant.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we just had Canada Day recently, and it's a weird holiday now for me. You know, the more you learn about terrible things that our country has done and still continues to do. It's hard to look at it a day as anything other than a day for reflection and trying to, you know, reconcile with the past that we have created.
Yeah, that's how I view it as. Yeah, Canada Day is exactly mm-hmm. that, a day of reflection and a day of remembrance of yep. the horrors we've done.
And acknowledgement of the ones that are still going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I don't think, going back to the song, the terrible yeah. song, used to say One Nation Under God, did it not? That was no. added in the 60s, wasn't it?
Something yeah, that like was that? Like, it was to combat communists. It was like a way yeah. of like communist outlaw religion. So if we put this as our slogan, communists wouldn't be able to say it. And mm-hmm. And then like communists are vampires who have to be invited in.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, I don't like Christian nationalism. I really don't like mm. white Christian nationalism. Mm. And I think that maybe... Mm-hmm. No more of it.
Ban all three.
Yeah. I'll drink to that.
All right. Cheers.
Listen, everybody. If we had planned this better, we had an episode that was released on July 4th. Could have been this one, but we didn't plan it. But now
you know what?
Know.
It's probably better we didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But we hope you have a wonderful time.
Yeah, we hope you have a good time. We hope summer. You leave people alone. Let mm-hmm. them live their lives.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. let them be all they can be.
Yeah, or all they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is just as important.
Exactly. Amen. Oh, look.
Amen. You patting yourself on the head?
No, I had a hair sticking up like alfalfa.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Work, 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 Sky Moon.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.